Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello and welcome to a blowout edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. Marcus Thompson is with me.
Can we call this the Deja Vu edition? Deja Vu episode.
Only no, because they didn't end up losing by, you know, 30, 40, 50, because there was even a chance in the fourth.
Dallas game. Game four.
Game four in Dallas. That's a pretty good one.
Actually, yeah, remember? They were down 29 to start the fourth quarter, and Moses Moody and Nemanja Bjelica and crew brought him back. Remember, if you remember, Steve brought back the starters. They cut it to 8, brought back the starters, and then regretted doing it.
Steph Curry unwrapped his thumb brace late in the third quarter, took his ankle braces off, and when Kevin Knox hit a 3 in the corner, and he may have, so it was 29, I should say. You know, Warriors got blown out tonight. They were down 29 mid-third.
Oh, by the way, they lost game
5.
Game 5, just in honor of Tim Kawakami, who's not here, you got to say.
In Houston, Texas.
In Houston, Texas, yeah, on April 30th, 2025.
And Steph asked for his ankle braces back.
Yeah, he put it back on.
He looked down at the trainer who had it way in the deep corner, like near the tunnel, and like called for them back and was putting them back on. But, I mean, it never seemed like Steve Kerr wanted to go back to them.
I don't think he would have put them back in.
He said he wouldn't have in his postgame.
I believe him. But because
what if it got down to like 4?
I remember he did that already, and the guys got back in, and after sitting for 10 minutes were cold. The group who brought them back, who were clicking, like pulled them out. Like I remember him saying that I should have just run with the guys who got us there. But they got back in and didn't make any headway, kind of killed the momentum. You put them back in, ice cold now, you know, against the Rocket starters too. That's the other thing. So, yeah, I don't think he would have done it. And I think he would have been right not to do it. I don't know how effective these guys would have been sitting for all this time and then coming back in a, like, high-intense game. I don't know if that would even work. I'd rather see Key out there grabbing rebounds. And
that was where the comeback effort fell short, was when they had about 4 offensive rebounds, couldn't finish, and then I believe that's what ended in the Pat Spencer push of Dylan Brooks, the head-to-head Pat Spencer Alperen Sengun, the headbutt that got Pat Spencer ejected, and then the Trayce Jackson-Davis push, and it was spicy, but that pretty much ended the game.
I mean, look, the game was probably over anyway, but headbutt, sometimes I understand it's so chippy, they go to the replay, and they get a little extra you know, sensitive about it. Like you said on the last one, like, and 99% of the times, Steph's isn't a taunt. But once you go back to the replay and you're like, how did this all begin?
Something bigger.
It's like, with that, yeah, that was weak, especially Pat Spencer's. Like, let the man live. He's out here hooping in a playoff game. Do you know his journey, officials?
You know his journey. Warriors were horrible tonight. The starters. Houston was in the bonus within about 5 minutes. And Rockets were good, obviously. They shot it really well. They were like 14 of 14 on the line, like 8 minutes into the game, which is like, wow, they had a lot of free throws, and wow, they were actually hitting them.
Yeah, and they were making their threes. They just weren't missing open shots. Fred VanVleet was still hot, clearly. And, you know, Dylan Brooks is shooting the heck out the ball. I mean, and they were just aggressive. They were forward. It was like, this is Sparta, like, type of energy, right? They were just like, everything was forward, and the Warriors were on their back foot. And really, Steph, it starts with Steph. He was on his back foot. Yeah. I still think it's just they do this thing, and we've seen this before, where it just becomes, okay, we know they're going to pressure them. Let's use the pressure to get other stuff going. But, man, these are big moments to say, hey, you know, Pajemski's been good, but Pajemski, Moody, Quentin Post, even Buddy Hield. It's like, I understand, like, offense, and I get the philosophy behind it, but these are massive shots. And there were times tonight, Quentin Post, through no fault of his own, like, he just looked overwhelmed. And that's when you think, like, there's a reason they want to take Steph Curry away, right? And on the other hand, they have nothing to lose. They're just carefree shooting. So to me, it's got to begin with Steph going. They can't start saying, let's see if we can get Buddy an open look. Let's see if we get Pods. It's like, no, let's see if you can get Steph some open looks and then play off of that. But he's just been too passive to start.
Yeah. Amen Thompson was pressing him up towards half court today.
Five steals in the first half. It was insane. Steph said he was like trying to set up the offense and not paying. He got ribbed twice.
Yeah, he was like looking past the Amen Thompson at like how the Steve Kerr play call was developing.
He's like, hey, motion. Oh, yeah. That's an absolute sign of just lack of aggression right there.
And just, I think, you know, look, it's human nature, but like they took the mental throttle off for this game. I mean, the fact that Steve Kerr, even at halftime, they're down 29, is like having conversation with Draymond Green, like, yeah, how many minutes should we go before we pull the plug? Like five? Like, that is not an aggressive mentality. They did not bring an aggressive mentality. That's, you know, again, it's fine, but you better go win game six. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of – the way Houston was playing, the Warriors would have had to have, like, a really, like, you know, A-game type game here. And so in some ways you can say, hey, look, if you were just going to go pedal to the metal and lose by eight – but play your starters 40 minutes, it's probably better it went this way. 25 minutes for Jimmy Butler, 23 minutes for Steph Curry, 18 minutes for Draymond Green. But they basically punted this game.
Yeah, I mean, the issue I would take with that, not with what you're saying, but the reason they punted is, if you actually come with some aggression, does Houston play that? Yeah. Are they playing that well? Like, they're playing that well largely because they're getting wide open shots. No, they're being uncontested on their drives, no real resistance. All they did was push their defense out and be a little bit more aggressive. Yeah. Nobody's driving. They're just chucking threes. Like, what happens if you actually, like, fight back? Maybe not 40 minutes, a quarter. Do they have this game? To me, that's the part where it's like, you can't really do that. And, you know, in fairness to them, they've always come back and won the next game. But it just feels like an increasingly risky play. They haven't won. Have they put together a really good game in the series? The Warriors.
Yeah, I was at game one. I mean, obviously, it wasn't like this offensive masterpiece. I think they won at 95-85. But that was
great defense, though.
That was like a really strong road win game one, yeah. I thought. And then, you know, game three without Butler, that's about as good as they could have played.
And Steph was great in that game. They just haven't strung together a bunch of great games. And the part that, you know, they obviously have all the confidence in the world, right? They feel like, oh, we're going to go home and win. I'm just saying at some point that's gonna come back to bite you. And even if you do win, right, we've already seen it bite them in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about now at least six games in the first round. Potentially, I don't. The minute we're talking at halftime in the Minnesota game, Minnesota's up 10. They could close out tonight. Yeah. And if they do, you're talking about the Warriors playing Friday at home, and if they lose, playing a Sunday, probably an afternoon ABC game in Houston, Game 7, which is obviously season on the line. But even if they win Game 6, if Minnesota is already closed, there might be a chance they have to go and play Game 1 Sunday in Minnesota.
Game 1 Sunday
in Minnesota. And Sunday's supposed to be the one they need to be rested for to go steal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's what happened against the Lakers. Remember, they didn't end the series against Sacramento, ended up having to play a Game 7, and then had to turn around quick for Game 1 and lost Game 1. Like, that's, you know, they just don't have the legs to play with it. So, it'll be interesting, especially if it's Minnesota, too. Like, now you get another big, physical, athletic team, so you have to go through it again on pretty much no rest. And we're seeing, like, Once these games come every other day, you can just see a difference in their zeal. So this might be one of them situations that comes back to haunt them. If we go on by how it works in history.
Jimmy Butler was quiet tonight. It does seem like he's moving better and feeling a little bit better. But you know, he took jumpers early. I think three of his first four shots were threes, which is very rare for him. That, like, you know, 16 of their first like 21 shots as a team were from three. You almost don't need to go player by player tonight because nobody was great. You know, Moody actually ended up with like 25. A lot of those, you know, in the fourth.
Moody was part of the comeback in Dallas, yeah. Remember? In 2022, yeah.
It got him a rotation spot over Damian Lee, I believe, in the next game.
Yeah, that's right. Damian Lee was in that, that end of game, that comeback. I do think Jimmy Butler's play tonight was, I don't want to say like he was the problem or anything, but if Steph is going to be kind of letting the game come to him and trying to use the gravity, like, somebody's got to then be aggressive on the other side. And he obviously has a reason why he wasn't aggressive, but he was taking a lot of jumpers.
Yeah, they spent the fourth quarter, really the last 18 minutes, which was probably 45 minutes of real time on the bench, like, talking through a lot of stuff, like, engaged and, you know, pretty animated conversations, relaxed conversations at times. I mean, it was so much time to just sit there already knowing the result of the game. And you could tell they were talking a lot of strategy and you know, what went wrong, what they could fix, whatever. And then I thought it was interesting you asked Steph a question. And he mentioned within it that, like, they got to get Jimmy the ball in better spots. Like, I think partly was Jimmy's lack of, like, that playoff aggression that he might have had offensively tonight, but it seemed like they thought it was also scheme-based and, like, inability to get Jimmy the ball in ways that he needs it.
Yeah, they were just moving the ball on the perimeter. Just perimeter passes because Houston was overplaying. And Pods and Jimmy are probably the only two players who can say, all right, if you're going to overplay me, if you're going to be this aggressive coming up, I'm going to go around you. They just don't have dudes who feel comfortable to do that. And Pods really wasn't doing it either. But Jimmy is the guy where you're like, okay, I need you to take Dylan Brooks. Like, I need you to beat him off the dribble. Like, that's the answer. So I don't even know if you're going to be able to run a scheme that allows you to get Jimmy in spots if Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson, and Jalen Green are assigned to just 30 feet out, just go pressure the ball. They're not going to blow by you, so just do it. So to me, I feel like they're going to have to take dudes off the dribble. They're going to have to stop running screens and just go ISO. Like, or, you know, I think they're going to put Jimmy in the middle too because they had Draymond in the middle a lot. Gee was really good, actually. He was the one. He was flashing across the middle. He had a couple open threes. Yeah, they were. Isn't it crazy how the Warriors have these shooters who just go cold and see and Houston non-shooters are just not missing?
Yeah. Basketball.
It's hoop, baby. That's why we love it.
No Jonathan Kuminga tonight. Ruled out sick maybe like 90 minutes prior to the game. That's why, you know, I've had some people be like, you know, he just even DMP'd Kuminga in garbage time. I was like, no, he was in the locker room. He was sick.
Did he go to the same seafood spot Pods went to or something?
Maybe. Didn't ask. Which is my job. I should have.
I just don't think on the list of things you were doing tonight, I just don't think that was
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Pretty high.
Nah. Steph Curry's thumb. Icing it again post game. I believe him when he says, I don't think it's really like bothering his shot. I mean, we've seen he's been shooting it well, like generally. Like, it's not like he's in some like cold slump as a shooter. But one of the talking points post game was also this whole high five contact
he
thing.
He did not want a part of that, huh?
Nah, he didn't really. Although it was clear he got fouled on a few. Attempts that weren't just part of that. You know, Steve Kerr really went into like the rule that the league allows, which is after you release the shot, you can kind of hit a guy's arm or hand. And Dylan Brooks, as you know, a lot of Warriors people are saying, has taken that freedom to the extreme and is trying to do it on every shot, purposely trying to just, you know, hit arms, hit hands, all that.
A certain thumb.
Sure. If that happens to be in his karate chop way, then that's fine. And, you know, again, that's like, we've seen this. Remember, who was the defender that was started with, like, the hand in the eyes? Oh, was that, like, Trevor Ariza or something?
I remember Shane Battier used
to do I think it was Shane Battier.
Yeah, I think Jalen Brunson hit somebody in the face trying to do that.
Like, yeah, he did the other day. You're right. But, like, I remember the first time you saw it was, like, this, like, Shane Battier, and they had the slow-mo. I think it was, like, on Kobe.
Yeah. I remember that.
And this is kind of that version of that. And, like, you know, again, Steve says he talks to all 30 coaches and all 30 of them don't like the rule, but
he
they have
to get changed, right?
Yeah. And he, you know, he's kind of at times part of the competition committee. So, anyway, that is the bigger picture. Like, I don't know. I guess it's a rule that everybody's moaning about, although I'm just kind of starting to hear about it now. But, you know, Steph's taken contact beyond that, what he is arguing. At least, you know, maybe on two threes tonight, maybe three threes. It's not like that changes the game. They're getting, you know, boat race regardless, but it's a physical series for Steph.
Yeah, and you could tell I do think that's part of why he's not pacing himself, but reading it first. Because it's not just defenders coming from all places. It's like body bumps coming from other places like that. There was one time he finally drove and Amen Thompson just comes out of nowhere. And I don't think he's really getting a good feel of where they're coming from, but when they do come, like they're getting contact on him, and you can see him kind of trying to feel where he can get space from. So I just think it's odd of all the things to like lobby about. He chose an off-season rule. I'd be Phil Jackson in this thing. 14 free throws and we had none.
Yes,
I'd be going crazy about Steph gets held every play. I sending tapes out to the media and all that. I'd be going nuts out here.
I think he was under the correct belief that they just got demolished, like, oh, yeah, but from an energy and focus level.
It had nothing to do with why they lost this game, but yeah. But just generally speaking, how they've been allowed to play Steph, that's what I would be.
Steve has been openly, or not open, I should say Steve has been, like, very, you know, purposely not in criticizing the officials in this series.
Steph isn't either, though. Like, yeah, I even asked him about a property. He's like, if it's a foul, they should call it. Emergency, like,
yeah.
That's on the refs, man. They got to call a foul. If they call it, they call it. If they don't, you just keep playing. Like, he's not really – he just didn't want any part of it. By the way, I did ask him about the thumb. He had a funny line. It's like, I was like, so what's the truth about the thumb? He's like, what? I scored 36 with the same thumb.
Yeah.
Like, so I do believe that.
Yeah, I don't think it's like it really impacting him that much.
I was just trying to get some intel.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you know, torn ligament needs surgery
exactly.
in a month.
Yeah. He's like, no. Why are you asking me about my thumb? Like, yeah. I've had it all series. So, that's.
Had it really all season. Now, I know late in the season in Portland it got hit, and maybe it was a worse degree, but he's had his thumb taped on and off for like 4 months now.
Yeah, and that was. Like, it's not even, they're not icing the thumb. It's like his whole hand is in an ice cast, which is, you know, kind of weird. But, this one, it was just ugly nonetheless. But it just, I didn't get to my seat in time, like, for the tip-off. So I got there, and you could just feel it. So I missed the Draymond, you know, I missed the start of it where, you know, you could see it on the TVs, but I wasn't in my seat. By the time I sat down, I was like, why did we even come here? Like, we knew this was coming. So it felt like deja vu to the point where they were like, we're out of here. There wasn't even much post-game. Like,
they got out of the arena quick tonight. It was not a somber post-game mood. It was a much more somber post-game mood game, too. A large reason of that is because, like, the status of Jimmy Butler was very much up in the air. And I, you know, I'm not taking that much from it, but it did not feel like a team that was fearful of game six.
It did not. The other thing that was interesting, I'm gonna write about this, or I'm gonna include it in my piece. A couple of the older guys were talking about it's really important because they're leaving tonight. Last time they stayed over.
Not only did they stay over, and you use this in your piece if you want. There was some kind of issue with plane availability. They didn't leave the hotel till and this is so game two in Houston. They have two off days. I'm trying to think. They played Sunday night and Tuesday, so this would be Wednesday afternoon with a Friday home game. They didn't leave the hotel until like 2, 3, 4 p.m. Like, they didn't get back home till way later than planned.
Yeah, so. The way they described it, you know, if you're traveling, and I kind of feel it, even though, like, I'm flying commercial, like, that travel day is not an actual off day. Like, it's not a work day, but there is a bit of a toll. So they were just happy, like, we're going to get home tonight. Yes. And then Thursday is a full off day, whereas last time, what was it, Wednesday was not a full off day.
Yeah, so they got one off day
instead of two.
Punted away one of their off days.
Punted away an off day by staying over.
And again, some of that is like the sleep science people, especially it was an 8:30 tip. You got to remember that. I mean, they're leaving the arena that night at like 1 a.m. So if you flew, you're getting home super late. And, you know, a lot of the sleep science people in sports say it's better to sleep in the city, wake up, travel the next day. But I'm of that belief. I always take the earliest flight in the morning. Like, I'm leaving in like a 6 a.m., 7 a.m. or tomorrow because I want a day tomorrow. I want to get home at 11 a.m. I have things to do. I have errands to run. And, like, these are all people who have all those things.
And when you're doing this, you feel like you flew today, right? Especially from Houston, right? Like, you're going and you're crossing a couple time zones. So, like, I get it, even though I know they're flying, like, private and all that. But I guess when you're 37, 35, almost 36, that stuff really starts mattering. But there was a bit of, okay, we're going tonight. That didn't feel like a small detail to them. That felt pretty important.
Yeah, I mean.
And it was a 6:30.
Season, it's not. This reminds me a little bit like the play-ins where, remember you had the Clippers game that they lost, but it was like, all right, whatever. You know, you got the Friday night or the Tuesday night Memphis game, that first play-in game. And if you get that, you're in a fine spot. And they got that, and they played Houston in the first round, which we would all consider that it was a nice matchup for them. This feels a little bit the same, where they kind of kicked away the game five. Okay, whatever, go home. But if you don't get that game six, you could be in deep trouble. Just like we knew, if you didn't get the Memphis play-in game, you were probably in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Not that they can't come into game seven. And when you mentioned the Sacramento series, they lost game six at home. They went on the road and won game seven. But you do not want any part of a Sunday afternoon Houston game 7.
Because even if you win it, you're paying the price in the next series. Yeah. So even if you do. I'm curious if they can coax a bad game out of Houston. Because we've seen two really good offensive games from Houston.
Jalen Green, they have shown they can. But they were shown tonight that they didn't need some huge Jalen Green explosion to win a game.
Yeah, I mean, the Houston looks really comfortable. Like, very comfortable.
Tonight they did. They have most of the series.
And game 4, well, I'm thinking mostly of Şengün and Fred VanVleet.
Şengün had a stretch, and it was mostly when Draymond was in foul.
Draymond was out, but Fred VanVleet was hitting. And Amen Thompson, you know, was pretty good, like, attacking the basket. They've just found a way to be effective, and the way they're shooting the ball, I think they're over 50% the last couple of games combined. Like, I wonder if they've got enough energy to say, all right, it's time for Houston to start missing some shots, like making them feel some pressure. Because, you know Houston's got some missed shots in them. Like, they can miss. They can rack up some misses, but they haven't the last couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, they have plenty of points of the series. Yes, but they have. All right, we'll talk to you game 6 Friday night. First game 6 without Klay Thompson.
There will be no who's filling the game 6 blank?
You would assume Jimmy.
Game 6 Jimmy? That don't really flow.
Game 6 Buddy?
Game 6 Buddy got a nice little ring to it. But you know who I'm going with, actually? Look, I'm feeling this. We can book this. I'm going with Game 6 Pat.
Game 6 sitting on the bench.
Pat Spencer, babe.
It's going to be a tight rotation. It's going to be a tight rotation, so... All right, we will talk to y'all after game 6.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.